this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardley.
And there are a lot of comments to this blog. JillStanek.com, she is a popular pro-life blogger, and she's got a blog on the barbecue we had on Sunday afternoon. It's at one of our pro-life protests at the home of a construction exec building the largest abortion facility in America right here in Denver. So we'll get to that. What else do we have? We have email from a pro-abort who doesn't like our ideas of respecting unborn life. We'll get to that email. By the way, you could email us here at Bob and Yurt Live at bob@kgov.com, bob@kgov.com, and you could call in to get our materials to be a caller on the show at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We also have an update on that girl that was born not in Japan, like I guessed on the air yesterday, but that girl born in India with multiple appendages, and she's undergone a 40-hour operation. Is it over yet, the operation? We'll talk about that. That is going well for her, and the people in her Indian village who thought she was the reincarnation of a goddess. And they're upset that her extra arms and legs are being removed, and they want to build a shrine to her. And let's see, what else? Oh, and we want to talk about the extraordinary scientific breakthrough by a scientist in Japan, Shinya Yamanaka of Kyoto University, and others who have figured out how to basically make stem cells out of ordinary skin cells. And we've talked about adult stem cells for years here on Bob and Yurt Live, and as has so many Christian and conservatives in the media and those interested in protecting children from being experimented on with Mengele-esque type harvesting of their body parts. Remember, George W. Bush is the first president from either party to give tax money to do research project on living human beings, on these embryos, these children who have been butchered, harvested for research purposes. And there are pro-lifers like at National Right to Life who somehow figured out that to be a way to thank George Bush, but he was the first one, the first president to spend our money on these types of Mengele-esque research projects on harvesting little kids. And, you know, when we get to Judgment Day, those children who Bush authorized money to continue research on their embryos, those kids will be there to confront George W. Bush along with their God. So that'll be interesting, and we'll talk through this technique. It's reprogramming of cells, and it's called somatic cell dedifferentiation. How's that? You know what differentiation is? When cells, stem cells, they can become any kind of cell. If you need cells for an optic nerve, stem cells could become that. They could become bone cells, marrow cells, whatever cell you need in your body, stem cells can become that. They're sort of the biologic raw material to create differentiated, specialized cells. Well, this technique de-differentiates those cells. They took four genes that are regulatory genes. They turn functions on and off in the building of the human body. And they take some skin cells and they apply these regulatory genes to them and they kick them backwards. They de-differentiate them. They're no longer skin cells. They're the raw material that you could use cells to grow, let's say, a liver. If somebody has liver cancer, they have damaged heart muscle, and you grow heart muscle cells. And who knows where this could lead, but of course, it's extraordinarily significant. So those are some of the stories we'd like to talk about here on Bob and Yurt Live. And also, by the way, if you Google the Weitz Corporation, this is just amazing. They're the oldest construction company in the country, formed in the 1800s, and they're one of the largest, $1 billion a year in business. And they're building, they're the general contractor to build this Planned Parenthood facility here in Denver. And eventually, when you Google the Weitz Company, the number one sites will be that they built a death camp, and that will be their legacy for decades to come on the internet. Right now, if you Google the names of many of their chief executives, the first page is filled with criticism of them building a death camp. And in fact, if you Google the Weitz Company, W-E-I-T-Z, you come up with an ad, you know, the sponsored links. You get an ad, the Weitz Company, at theweitzcompany.com, and you go to it, and it's a pro-life website warning people about the actions of the Weitz Company to help Planned Parenthood kill kids in the construction of a major abortion facility right here in Denver, a facility that many of us are doing what we can to try to stop it being constructed or slow it down so that there will be no child killing with tranquility. You don't kill kids in peace in our backyard, in our neighborhood. So if you Google Gary Megason, who's a senior vice president of the Weitz Company here in the Rocky Mountain region, the first page out of 900 hits, the first page is mostly like Operation Save America, Operation Rescue. That's Flip Benham's group. Senior vice president of the Weitz Corporation, Gary Megason, building an abortion clinic. Blood money. You've got the Rocky Mountain News, and my son's name, Dominic Enyart, 6 years old, plays with a dog at an anti-abortion protest at the Lakewood home of Gary Megason, an executive constructing an abortion clinic. You've got CovenantNews.com. That's Jim Rudd's excellent Christian news site. Excellent. You should have that. You might want to have that as one of your favorites, CovenantNews.com, Gary Megason building a death camp. You've got KGov Radio, KGov.com, moving the world to the right. Gary Megason said to the Rocky Mountain News he has been upfront with subcontractors. Let's see, JillStanek.com, and that has to do with this blog of hers about this barbecue, this pro-life barbecue. And Good Jesuit, Bad Jesuit, blogspot.com. So anyway, the Weitz Corporation, they should get used to this. This will be their legacy. They will be the child-killing construction firm. And right now, they might think that's not a big deal, but the companies that made millions helping the Nazis back in the 30s and 40s, including the chemical companies and the construction companies and the heavy equipment companies that were involved in making it easier to kill Jews, the enablers to the Holocaust, they have that shame to bear, and the whole world, for the most part, condemns their wickedness. The whole world, for the most part, except for anti-Semites like quite a few jihadists, and Muslims who approve of jihadists, which is a significant percentage of Muslims. But in many in the Middle East, the racism, anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Jews in the Middle East, of course, they don't criticize the Nazis for killing the Jews. They tend to approve of it. Okay, So where are we going to go from here? Oh, and by the way, this Jill Stanek's blog, let me just quote a little bit from it. Colorado pro-life protest and barbecue. In Chicago, we have tailgate parties before Bears games. In Colorado, pro-lifers have tailgate parties at protests. Major hoot. Here's the report from Leslie Hanks, Vice President, Colorado Right to Life. And then there's a great report complete with photographs, wonderful photographs of the barbecue. And there's a sign also by a neighbor, every day you are here, we donate to Planned Parenthood. And yeah, people have been donating to Planned Parenthood for decades, and that's certainly not going to stop us. Every day that we're there, Planned Parenthood kills kids. We're there so that eventually there will be so much social turmoil over the killing of children that even people who hate God and hate kids will give up eventually. Similar to slavery. Slavery didn't end because most people grew to love blacks. That's not why slavery ended. Slavery ended here and around the world because the social turmoil created by the few, like William Wilberforce in England, was not worth it anymore. But when the pro-life movement becomes part of the establishment, you think the political parties have anything to fear from National Right to Life or Jay Sekulow? Our bloodthirsty culture, you think they have something to fear from those guys? They're part of the establishment. As long as they bring in their multi-million-dollar annual budgets and they could fund their retirement benefits, they're just part of the establishment. But, you know, the people running Colorado Right to Life, they're not part of the establishment. They will do what they can to create enormous social turmoil so that there is no child killing with tranquility. So I love this blog and the photograph. You should see all the people at this barbecue. If you were not there Sunday afternoon, you missed out. And you'll want to be involved in upcoming protests. This is keeppeaceinstapleton.com. That's one name, right? There's a lot of websites. This is a good one. NoPlannedParenthood.org. NoPlannedParenthood.org. And isn't there a keeppeepeout.com? Keep with two P's. Keeppeepeout.com. That's the easiest one, right? Keeppeepeout with two P's. .com. So if you go to those websites, you should be able to stay up with what's going on and enjoy some of these fellowship events. Like on December 1st, right here in Denver, Joe Scheidler is coming in from Chicago. He's the father of pro-life action in America. And he's coming in to Denver to help Will Duffy of Families Against Planned Parenthood and Keith Mason and so many others and Leslie Hanks, Colorado Right to Life, they're putting on a rally to do what they can to interfere with the building of this abortion facility. And boy, there's a lot going on in that effort, just in that arena. And they met with managers of, what hotel is there? The Renaissance Hotel on Quebec and 38th. And they're trying to explain to that hotel that building an abortion clinic immediately next door to your hotel puts you smack dab in the middle of a war zone. Planned Parenthood is turning that minority neighborhood, Stapleton there, into a war zone. It's going to be pretty rough. Okay, we'll go to the calls in just a moment. 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. But this, out of India, this is a 40-hour operation on a 2-year-old girl who was born with 4 arms and 4 legs. And the procedure is to cost $200,000. That's not surprising. It's taken a month of planning. The girl has been in the hospital for a month. And it involves pediatrics, neurosurgery, orthopedics, plastic surgery. And doctors have guessed, although doctors often guess wrong, but they guessed without this operation, she might not survive beyond early adolescence. So it's really a thrill that this girl is able to get this treatment. And there are villagers from her hometown in India that are upset because they thought she's the reincarnation of a goddess, Little Lakshmi. She was named after the Hindu goddess of wealth, who happens to have four arms. And so when she was born with four arms and four legs, they said, Krishna, Krishna's here. Or at least Lakshmi's here. And some people, they want now to build a shrine to her or temple. And other people earn the parents money to put her in a circus. So, and Hindus, you know, there's a huge problem in India with the untouchables. Remember learning about that in grade school? The untouchables and the deep racism that's been a part of the Hindu religion, and also the cruelty toward children with the oppressive poverty. And when families have gardens, they allow cows and animals to just roam through their gardens because they think they're sacred. I saw one documentary where women would take cow dung and put it on their heads to be close to the, I don't know, the natural aroma of their gods and goddesses. Cows are goddesses to them. Oh, no, they might be relatives. That's right, relatives. Because they believe in reincarnation. And so their children, how many children in India have died from malnutrition? How many? I don't know the number. Is it in the millions? While animals have been more well-fed, and rats will get to drink out of communal bowls with kids. Rats. Because they're sacred. Or it's like grandpa or great-grandpa is the rat. So it's all tragic. But these extra appendages resulted because there was a twin that began to grow in Lakshmi's mother's womb along with Lakshmi. And the twin embedded into Lakshmi's body, but then the twin never grew, only a torso and limbs, no head. And so Lakshmi has these appendages from a twin embedded in her body. And that's all wildly bizarre, of course. And I thank God for the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that he has given us, and that scientists and doctors, even secular doctors, could use the gifts that God gave to them to bring blessings to so many. Let's go to the phones in Denver, Colorado. Vic, welcome to Bob and Yart Live. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. What's up, Vic?
How you doing, Bob?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering if you could go through the process with regard to the personhood amendment. I stopped by and saw Donna today at Colorado Right to Life.
All right.
Picked up my petition, and I'm like eager to get going. So we're like, you apply to get it on the ballot, and how does that work?
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, there was an effort to get the wording of the ballot amendment that would be acceptable to our political process. And so that went through a title board, part of the Colorado state government, and the title board approved of it. It was then Colorado for Equal Rights, and their website.com, their amendment effort was sued by Planned Parenthood of the pro-aborts. That went to the Colorado State Supreme Court. The Supreme Court upheld the wording as appropriate for our process. And they didn't do that because our Supreme Court cares about truth or justice or righteousness. This is a child-killing court, so we can only just guess as to why they did this. Maybe they gave us a favorable ruling because they like the entertainment value of seeing the campaign. Maybe that's why. Who knows? But anyway, now we can go ahead and begin to collect signatures. We need about, 76,000 signatures. And so once you get these signatures, many of them are declared invalid if you left out a middle initial. If, you know, they get really picky. And so typically you try to get close to double the signatures you need. So Colorado for Equal Rights is going for, you know, well over 100,000 signatures. And now these petitions will be available throughout the state. Some churches will begin distributing petitions. They could have petition signing events at their church. They'll be able to have back tables with the petitions. People can sign the petitions. And better yet, somebody could sign a petition at the church and take that petition with them and go to family, friends, coworkers, and ask others to sign and then bring it back to their church the next week and then gather them up and send them into Colorado for Equal Rights. So that's how the process will be working. And Colorado Right to Life will be one of the organizations that will be a center of activity for gathering signatures.
Where else can you get those petitions?
Well, right now, I would suggest either put your name on a list with ColoradoRightToLife.org. I'm not even sure they're done at the printer yet in bulk. I don't know. I don't have that information. But you could either call Colorado Right to Life. That would be my suggestion, to give your name and phone number so when they got the petitions, they could figure out how to get them to you. 303-753-9394, 753-9394, or go online to ColoradoForEqualRights.com. Vic, real quick, I just read a press release from Pro-Life Wisconsin, and their executive director put out a release to Wisconsin media saying how thrilled, that's Peggy Hamill, saying how thrilled they are with Colorado's effort in urging their state and other states to join Georgia and Colorado and fight for the personhood of the unborn.
Well, we're praying that this goes through and then the other workers in other states will have something to go by, you know, like a template.
Amen.
They can do it at their houses.
Amen. Sounds great.
Ooh, thank you, friend.
God bless you, Vic. Appreciate that. Here's the email. Let's see. This is from Lance. And Lance is obviously a pro-abort. He advocates killing kids. And he says, Bob, please, with a lot of E's, please. A pregnant woman. Now, this is the way I notice. This is the way pro-aborts and the godless, this is the way they reason. This is how they think. They have a very difficult time making rational and moral arguments because their beliefs are immoral. So how do you make a moral argument to defend your immoral belief? You can't do it. So you have to argue, typically you argue absurdities. And the goal of Planned Parenthood and liberals and evolutionists and atheists and homosexuals, their goal is to find the least absurd argument, the least absurd argument, the least unreasonable, the least irrational argument that will catch many people, the most people, off guard and make people think, oh, that's a good argument. So here, this Lance takes the time to send me, a talk show host, an email. I guess he thinks this is a good argument. And he puts a few arguments in here, but they're all similarly absurd. He says, Bob, please, a pregnant woman can't add the unborn to her employer's health benefit plan. Now, what does that mean? If a German could not add their Jewish employee to their company's benefits program, does that mean then that it should be right to kill Jews in Germany? I mean, Lance, let's take it for granted that you're not a moron. Let's take it for granted that you have an IQ, you know, higher than your age, whatever that is. So you're obviously able to think well enough to assemble sentences. Now, when you assemble sentences, when I make arguments, this is what I do. I consider an argument, and then I try to falsify it. I try to think, okay, how could I disprove this argument? I have an argument. I think something is true, and here's evidence for it. Now, what might show that my evidence is false? What might show my argument is false? Lance, do you try that at all? When I send letters or emails to people in the media, because people in the media have more influence because they could speak to maybe 1,000 people at one time. Or maybe imagine speaking to 2,000 people at one time. Wow. Bob and Yart Live, these programs that we do, they get downloaded off of the internet about 250,000 times per year. 250,000. So let me make that clear, not ambiguous. 250,000 times per year, people will download a show, a Bob and Yart Live show, off of our website, kgov.com, kgov.com. And then there are the people who listen live to this program, both online, streamed by our host radio station here in Colorado, the 50,000-watt AM670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America, one of the top 10 most powerful stations of all kinds. That's pretty exciting. One of the top 10 most powerful radio stations in America. If you look at radiolocator.com, radio-locator.com, put in the call letters, KLTT, and click on the daytime coverage map, it'll blow your mind. And you'll see why this is one of the top 10 most powerful radio stations in the country, covering most of Colorado, which is an enormous state, covering most of Colorado and getting into 7 neighboring states. And from time to time, we get emails, letters, even donations to help Bob and Yart Live keep going from people who listen over the air out of state. That's really exciting to us. And so when you send an argument to somebody in the media, I do an extra check. I check and I recheck. Say, is this argument reasonable? Does it prove my point? So, Lance, when you call someone or you send an email, here's a suggestion. Have a point. What is your point? Is your point that if Americans could not get insurance for slaves, then it'd be okay to kill slaves? Is that your point? If Jews couldn't get insurance in Germany, it's okay to kill Jews? See how evil people become. When they're committed to wickedness, their mind becomes warped. We're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Arvada, and kgov.com.